Beauty and the Beast, a romantic tale of enchantment by Joan Garner, based on the French fairy tale.
I'm Maggie, I'm playing Cavette. Cavette is physically attractive but unpleasant in personality. She wears a simple dress of the late 18th century in neutral colors, white stockings, and soft slippers.
I'm Jiyun, I'm playing Chantel. Chantel is physically attractive but unpleasant in personality. She wears a simple dress of the late 18th century in neutral colors, white stockings, and soft slippers.
I'm Joy and I'm playing Beauty. Beauty is generous and loving, although stubborn in opinion. She is kind and learns to be more open-minded. Beauty wears a simple country dress of a period with lace around the collar and half sleeves.
I'm Jack. I'm playing Charles. Charles is in his mid-teens. He's unsure of himself, but always eager to please. Charles wears a tattered brown long coat and tan waistcoat.
Hello, I'm Eric, and I'm playing Papa. Papa is the honest man of his word. He loves his children and worries about them. Papa wears a red hunting coat with a yellow white waistcoat.
I'm Joshua. I'm playing Beast. The Beast is sullen but tender of heart. His beastly presence should be shown in his size and features, but his gentle nature should be shown in his manner. The Beast is the best dressed of all. He wears a loose, frilly waistcoat, should be multicolored, sparkling satin, and his coat should be dark.
The play has two settings that mirror one another. At stage right is the country house scene. A table and chair sit in front of a fireplace, and a larger, more comfortable chair sits down right from the table. At stage left is the castle scene. A table and chair sit in front of a grand fireplace, and a larger, more comfortable chair sits down left from the table. Where the country house scene is light and airy, the castle scene is dark and heavy. At Rise. Scene: Winter, France, 1765. Lights rise over the country house scene. Sisters Cavette and Chantel enter from stage right. Both are physically attractive but unpleasant in personality. They are moping and sad.
Oh, look, my beautiful hands are so plain and naked. I once had 6 diamond and ruby rings on my fingers.
Remember the George's diamond necklace I wore around my neck?
And we wore such lovely dresses, blue and pink and green silks with delicate lace and gold bargains. We weren't forced to don these awful rags.
Oh, why did Papa have to lose all his money? It was so irresponsible of him to put us in this state of poverty.
Enter Beauty, stage right, carrying a basket of potatoes. Beauty is generous and loving. Although stubborn in opinion, she is kind and learns to be more open-minded.
You're not wearing rags, dear sister. They are respective simple dresses. And as for jewelry, well, gems and jewelry are nice to have, but nothing we can't live without. Perhaps if you helped with the cooking and house chores a little more, you wouldn't have all this time on your hands to whine and complain.
Listen to Beauty. It sounds as if she enjoys her plight. You can tell me you don't miss all the fine things we once had. The many servants waiting on us hand and foot, and all the rich gentlemen in collars who appeared at our doorstep.
Of course I miss the servants and finery and the attentive men, but it's all gone now. All we can do is make the best of our present situation.
Beauty places the potatoes by Cavette.
Here, Cavette. I'm certain pulling this potato will help get your mind off your misery.
Beauty reaches over and takes a coat that has been hanging on the large chair.
And Chantel, I'm quite confident all your worries will vanish once you begin mending Papa's coat. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have laundry to do.
Beauty exits stage right.
Here, Covet, I'm certain peeling these potatoes will help get your mind off your misery. I hate her.
She's so good and beautiful.
Our precious Beauty. I know that I'd like to do our precious Beauty.
Chantel smiles at Covet, then they break out in a wicked laugh. Beauty enters from stage right with a basket of clothes.
I'm mending basket in my room, Chantel.
I know, you're not our mother, Beauty. Stop acting like you are.
Enter Charles, stage right, with a slab of bacon. Charles is in his mid-teens. He is unsure of himself, but always eager to please.
I hope this bacon tastes good. It's the first piece of meat I've ever smoked. It seems to have kept all right in the cellar.
I'm sure it will taste delicious, Charles. We'll have it as a special treat tonight for supper.
Special treat? It's only bacon.
It's not only bacon. It means that Charles has carved with his own two hands. At least he's helping this family through these hard times. What are you doing?
Papa Lamar enters stage right holding a piece of paper high in the air. Papa is an honest man of his word. He loves his children and worries about them. Papa is excited.
Children, I have wonderful news. I just received word that one of my ship got lost at the sea was reset port.
Will we be rich again, Papa?
No, dearest Chantel. I'm afraid we'll never be as rich as once were, but the profit from the cargo on the ship should help pay all my debts. I may even have enough to bring home a few presents.
Presents? Oh, Papa, I do like a new silk dress. Lots of silk dresses.
And I want a big bottle of perfume. The biggest bottle you can find.
Yes, we'll see. And you, Charles, what would you like?
Perhaps new gloves to work in the stable with.
There's your son. And you, Beauty, what can I bring home to my Beauty?
I don't need anything, Papa. Just bring yourself back to us safe and well. That's all I want.
Bless you. But surely that must be some small token or trinket I might get for you.
Well, if you happen upon one, I'd like one perfect rose.
A rose may be hard to find in the middle of winter, but I shall try, goddess, our goodest. I must pack and leave for the horrible city as soon as I can. Come help me, children.
Beauty, Charles, Covet, and Chantel follow Papa off stage right. The lights go down in the country house scene. There is a crack of thunder, and the lights flash as if it were lightning. The sound of a fierce storm with wind and rain is heard over the stage, and there are one or two more thunder cracks and lightning bolts. When the sound of the storm dies down, the lights in the castle scene come up. But the lighting over the castle scene is not as bright as it was over the country house scene. Papa enters stage left. He has put on a scarf and a hat for his trip. Papa looks about the place, then he speaks out, hoping the proprietor will hear him.
Hello? Hello? It was storming outside and your door was unlocked. So I let myself in. I hope it's all right. I've lost my way in the wood. Hello? You have a beautiful castle here. Have I happened upon the Duke of Lord? My name is Larma.
Papa stops at the table as he sees a note placed there with a plate of food and a flagon of drink. At the center of the table is a vase of roses. Papa picks up the note and reads it out loud.
Share my food and drink and warm yourself by the fire, but take nothing from upon leaving. You're most gracious. Thank you, whoever you are.
Papa sits down and begins to eat. The lights on the castle scene fade to black as the lights on the country house scene come back up to full. Covet, Chantel, Beauty, and Charles enter stage right. Beauty and Charles seem very worried. Covet and Chantel, not quite as much.
Where could Papa be? He should have been home long before now.
You mustn't worry yourself so, Charles. I'm sure there's a simple explanation. Maybe Papa's business has taken him longer than he expected, or he decided to wait out the storm in the roadside tavern.
I hope that's all it is. I'm going to wait in the stable. You can see the road better from there.
Charles exits stage right.
Admit it, Beauty. You're just as worried about Papa as Charles is.
Yes, I'm very worried, but I couldn't show poor little Charles how concerned I am. I only hope Papa has found his way out of this terrible storm.
Me too.
Why, Cavette? You're worried for Papa too? I'm touched.
Well, of course we're worried for Papa. What do you take us for? Uncaring? Selfish pigs?
I'm sorry. My remark was cruel and unwarranted. I apologize.
That's better.
I think I'll join Truth and wait for Papa in the stable.
Beauty exits stage right.
Besides, if Papa is out in this horrible rain, it probably means our new dress are getting all wet.
Cavette and Chantel exit out stage right as the lights in the country house scene go down and the lights of the castle scene come up. Papa stands and calls out once more.
That was a splendid dinner. Thank you, wherever you are. As it sounds like the storm may have died down a bit. I will take my leave. Thank you again.
Papa begins to leave, but notices the vase of roses on the table. He steps over to them.
Roses. How wonderful. However did he came upon roses this time of year, since there's already cut. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I took one home to Beauty.
Papa lifts a rose from the vase and turns to leave when the beast enters stage left, roaring and towering over Papa. The beast is sullen but tender of heart. His beastly presence should be shown in his size and features, but gentle nature shown in his manner.
What are you doing?
Startled and scared to death, Papa stumbles away and huddles behind the large chair.
Dear God in heaven!
I share my fort and shelter, and this is how you repay me, by taking one of my precious roses?
No, I thought you wouldn't mind. I would have asked for the roses if I had only known you were within these walls.
The roses are from my pardon. They are the only true beauty in this entire estate. To lose even one is like losing a child.
Papa cautiously stepping out from behind the chair.
Then I know you understand why I wanted it, Your Majesty.
I was king once at the title Majesty, fit quite well, but as you can see, I'm no longer a king. What am I now?
What are you now?
You have eyes, man. You can see what I am. Who stand before you?
Well, with all due respect, sir, you are a beast.
Then call me beast.
Yes, sir, yes, but beast. I'm Larma, a simple merchant.
You said I would understand. Understand what?
Why I took the rose? You see, it wasn't for me, but for my child, my beauty. Dresses were plentiful enough to buy one for Chavette, and the bottle of perfume easily found for Chantel, but I was having a most difficult time finding a rose for my dear Beauty.
You have a daughter named Beauty?
Yes, sir. She was a most beautiful gift for a mother and I had ever received, so we named her Beauty. And true to her name, she grows more lovely and beautiful with every passing day. Mind you, always me to take home this perfect rose for my beauty?
Quite impossible. You disobeyed me, and by law you must die for it.
Die? But surely...
The beast grabs Papa's neck.
Say no more. Pleading will not help you here. Discord commands you to death.
It's a most unjust law.
The beast releases Papa from the stranglehold.
But law is law.
Yes, I broke your law and I will pay the punishment for it. But before I die, might I be granted for final request?
And that request?
Allow me to go home one more time to say goodbye to my family. If I can see them and say a farewell, I will gladly return to face my sentence.
Very well, but mark my word, if you do not return to this castle, I will kill everyone in your family. Do you understand?
Yes, Beast, I understand. I can see you're a very powerful monarch and a person of your word. I am a man of my word as well. I promise to return.
Be back by nightfall tomorrow night.
But tomorrow night? Oh, that barely gives me enough time to travel there and back.
By nightfall tomorrow night or your family will die.
I'll be back by then.
Papa begins to exit stage left.
Old man.
Papa stops and turns back to the Beast.
Yes, sir?
Since you're to pay the ultimate price for stealing the rose, you might as well take it to your beauty.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Papa, taking the rose, exits stage left.
As my name is Beast, her name is Beauty. She must be a lovely reason to her be her to have such a name.
The Beast roars in anguish as he exits stage left. The lights dim on the castle scene and come up on the country house scene. Cavette enters behind Chantel stage right. They are both yawning and stretching.
Good morning, Chantel.
Good morning, Cavette.
Sleep well?
Not so well. The thunder and lightning kept waking me up.
Beauty enters, helping a very tired Charles to the large chair.
Here, Charles, this chair will be more comfortable than the wooden stove in the stable.
Were you two out in the stable all night?
Yes, we stayed awake all night, thinking we would see Papa coming down the road, but we didn't.
Papa enters with open arms.
My dear children, I miss you so.
All go to Papa. Beauty hugs Papa.
Papa, we were so worried.
But I'm fine, Charles. My boy, you look tired.
I stayed up all night waiting for you.
I'm sorry. My trip home took an unexpected turn.
Were you caught in a storm, Papa?
Yes, I was. But I was able to find shelter in the woods.
In the woods?
If you two young ladies want to take the trunk of the mule outside, I think you might find some pretty dresses and perfume in it.
Cavette and Chantel scream in delight and rush out stage right. Papa sits in a large chair after pulling out a pair of gloves from his pocket.
Your gloves, Charles.
Thank you, Papa. They're very fine, thank you.
You're very welcome. And for you, Beauty.
He carefully pulls the rose out of his coat.
Your rose.
It's a beautiful rose, Papa, but you didn't have to.
Please take it. It's cost my dearly.
What do you mean? What's wrong, Papa?
Cavette and Chantel come waltzing in, swishing their new dresses in the air and dancing about in them.
Isn't it divine? And the lace? Look at these fine lace. It just has to be imported.
See how nicely the color matches my eyes? Oh, Papa, you're the best Papa in the whole world.
Thank you, Papa. I love you so much.
Me too.
Cavette and Chantel kiss Papa on the cheek and dance and sing around the room again with their dresses.
Sisters, please, something is wrong.
Wrong? What could be wrong?
Papa was about to tell us.
Did your business not fare as well as you had hoped, Papa? Or are they going to take away our dresses again?
No, you may keep your dresses, I promise.
Beauty looking at her rose.
There is something about this rose. It's strange in a way, but I couldn't say how. Papa, where did you find the rose in bloom this time of year? It being out of season and all. Did you get it from a greenhouse or conservatory?
Last night, on my way home, a big storm came up. I was in the middle of the woods, and with the light of the moon disappearing behind the rain clouds, I lost my way. However, I managed to find refuge in the castle. It was a magnificent castle, yet peculiar and foreboding. at the same time. I had not known it was there before.
What castle? Where?
Out there. It was very hard to find. I hope I'm able to find it again.
Why again?
Because I must go back.
Why?
I made a promise to the beast.
Beast?
An animal?
Yes, but not like any animal we are accustomed to. He stood tall like a man, but fur was all over his face. He talked equally like a man, and his eyes were that of the man's, but the rest were animal parts. Horn, claws, fangs, horrible.
Whatever must have happened to him?
I don't know.
It sounds as if he was cursed by an evil witch or wizard. If this is so, Papa, you best stay away from the beast.
Chantal is right, Papa. If you go back there, you might be turned into a beast as well.
But I must go back.
Why?
I gave my word. The beast allowed me into the castle and shared his food with me, but warned me not to take anything from there. But then I saw a vase of roses on the table. I thought of Beauty and took one to bring home to her.
This rose?
Yes, that rose. The beast was very angry. I had broken the law, so now I must return to face my punishment.
What is the punishment, Papa?
My dear children, I have been sentenced to death.
Ooh!
No, it can't be. Just for taking a rose? Say it isn't so.
We won't allow it. I will go kill the beast myself.
No, son. Just as beast must be enchanted and cursed, so can he enchant the place spell on us. If I don't return, he will kill us all.
Can't we talk to him if we reason?
I tried to reason with him, but the law is law. He was permitted me to return home and say goodbye, but now I must go if I plan to make it back to the castle by nightfall.
And that concludes this week's episode of Beauty and the Beast. Tune in next week to find out what happens. Welcome back to part two of the radio drama Beauty and the Beast, a reintroduction to the characters.
I'm June and I'm playing Chantal.
I'm Joy and I'm playing Beauty.
I'm Maggie, I'm playing Kavit.
I'm Edward, I'm playing Papa.
I'm Joshua, I'm playing Beast.
I'm Jack, I'm playing Charles.
Okay. Papa has just announced to his family that he must return to the beast to pay his debt with his life. Here we go. Part two, Beauty and the Beast.
Just for taking a rose, say it isn't so.
We won't allow it. I will go kill the beast myself.
No, son. Just as beast must be enchanted and cursed, so can he enchant and place spell on us. If I don't return, he will kill us all.
Can't we talk to him if we reason?
I tried to reason with him, but the law is law. He was permitting me to return home and say goodbye. But now I must go if I plan to make it back to the castle by nightfall.
Papa, no, this can't be happening.
Papa standing and placing an arm around Charles.
You'll be the man of the house now, Charles. Be good to your sister.
Yes, Papa.
Shove it, Chantel, my pretty young ladies. You must put your new dresses and perfume to good use and find yourself two handsome and rich husband.
Kavet and Chantel weeping.
Yes, Papa.
Beauty, you must be strong for your brother and sister.
Beauty embraces Papa.
I will try, Papa.
Papa gently pushes Beauty away and steps back.
Goodbye, children. Now how much I love you.
All say goodbye, then Papa turns and exits stage right. Beauty falls into the large chair crying.
Yay.
This dress doesn't seem as pretty anymore.
Poor Papa. What are we going to do without him?
Beauty, raising her head in determination.
We're not going to do without him.
What?
I've got to do something. I can't let Papa die.
Reaching for her cape.
He took the rose for me. It's my fault Papa's in this terrible trouble.
No, but Beauty, what can you do?
I'm going to follow Papa to the castle and meet with the Beast. If he let Papa return to us to say goodbye, there must be some good in him. Perhaps I can find this decency and change the Beast's mind about Papa.
But he may change you into a Beast as well.
He may. I'll just have to take the chance. Come, Charles, and help me saddle my horse. If we hurry, I can catch up to Papa and follow him.
Charles and Beauty exit stage right.
Wait for us.
Cavette and Chantel scurry out stage right as the lights dim over the country house scene and come up over the castle. Papa enters stage left.
Beast, Beast, I have returned like I promised and before nightfall. I trust you will keep your word and let my family leave.
Your family will leave.
Startled, Papa swings around to find the Beast sitting in the large chair.
Oh, I didn't see you there.
Then your eyesight must be failing you, for I am one that is hard to miss.
Well, do with me what you will, Beast.
Beast standing.
Did you give your Beauty the rose?
Yes, but she would rather not have to rose than to have my pay, for it's with my death.
Beast wrapping his hand around Papa's neck.
The roll is the roll.
Beast, a moment, please. If you will, as long as I'm going to die, may I ask what will happen to me after my heart stops beating?
After?
Yes. As your Beast, it is your intent to eat me?
Releasing Papa.
Eat you, I kill animals to eat. Do you not do the same?
Yes, I suppose I do. But like you say, there are animals.
I will not eat a man.
Ah, this is comforting through as much as time. Thank you.
The Beast takes Papa in a stranglehold once again and begins choking Papa until Beauty rushes in from stage left.
No, don't. Please, you mustn't. I beg of you, please spare my father.
The Beast releases Papa and quickly turns his back while Beauty hurries to embrace Papa.
Papa, are you all right?
Beauty, what are you doing here? It's much too dangerous. Run away before it's too late.
No, I won't leave you, Papa. This is all my fault. If I haven't asked you for the rose, you wouldn't be in such trouble.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Beauty steps toward the Beast.
Beast, sir, may I speak to you, please? I must speak to you on behalf of my father, please, sir.
The Beast turns to Beauty. Beauty steps back with a slight gasp upon seeing the Beast, but quickly retains her composure and goes on.
Sir, surely there must be some other way to resolve this situation.
Your father broke the rule here.
Yes, I know. I'm not saying that my father shouldn't pay for his crime. But to be put to death, is there not another choice?
I might consider.
Yes, whatever it is, anything.
I will let your father return to his family, but you must stay here with me.
That is out of question, Beast.
Papa, please.
Beauty to the Beast.
How long would I have to stay here?
Forever.
No, take me. Kill me.
No, I'll stay. If it will stop you from killing Papa, I will stay with you, Beast.
Oh, great.
The Beast quickly grabs Papa and carries him out of the room, stage left, under Papa's protest.
Papa, wait.
Beauty, I love you.
Beauty sobs as the beast returns.
You didn't even let me say goodbye.
I wanted to spare you the pain of a long goodbye.
Spare me the pain. You wanted to see me cry, that's all. You're a horrid beast, and I can't stand the sight of you. If I must spend the rest of my days here, let it be alone. I do not wish to be with anyone so cruel as to keep a family apart.
I'm not cruel, but there are rules that must be obeyed within this enchantment. All is lost.
Is one of the rules to kill? For if it is, this is not an enchanted place, but a wicked and evil one.
There is enchantment, and there is a survivor. Until the one is broken, the other cannot be changed.
What would be you have of me, then?
I want nothing of you, but perhaps your friendship.
How can I be your friend if I am your prisoner?
You're not a prisoner here. You may go in any room you wish and explore the castle ground whenever you like.
But I cannot go beyond the castle gate.
This was the deal you made. Are you hungry? Food is plentiful here. Some fresh fruit, perhaps.
Don't be silly. It's the middle of winter. There is no fresh fruit this time of year.
How can you look at this devilled face before you and not believe there can be fresh fruit here?
What happened to you? How did it become a beast?
You must ask such question of me, for I cannot answer them, but we may keep speak for other things, whatever you want.
Do you know of the world? Have you knowledge of the faraway and wonderful places I've heard people tell of?
Yes, not to boast, but I'm quite a lone individual. I've been to many exotic places and have met many a fascinating soul on my travel.
Would you tell me of these?
Nothing would give me greater joy, sweet beauty, and after you din each evening, there will be entertainment.
What kind of entertainment?
Music, stories. Do you like story, beauty?
Very much.
Then one evening I'll tell you a story, and the next evening you may tell one to me. Does this appear to you?
And what do we do when we run out of stories?
I will read you. There are many rivals in this castle, with thousands of books. You will never be bored, dear beauty. I promise you that.
Beauty, thinking it over.
Will you tell me a story now?
Pleased, the beast cups his hands behind his back and begins telling Beauty a story as they exit stage left.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a land of green grass and honeysuckle, there roamed a perilous knight and his squire.
The lights dim on the castle scene and come up on the country house scene. Papa enters and sits in the large chair to review some business papers he has. Charles, Cavette, and Chantel enter stage right. Charles crosses over to sit on the floor by Papa. He is whittling on a stick. Cavette enters holding a mirror, and Chantel comes in with a comb. They will speak while entering. Cavette and Chantel are wearing their new dresses.
Do you think this blush is too heavy, Chantel?
Heavy?
No, not if you're a clone.
You are so amusing, Chantel.
Cavette sits at the table and uses a handkerchief to remove some of the blush. Chantel also sits.
What do you think of my hair up like this? Does it make me look more sophisticated?
It makes you look old.
Displeased, Chantel takes her hair down.
How did your business dealings go this month, Papa?
Very well, Chantel. I dare say the company brought in a greater profit this month than the months before and months before that. Drew, though, I thought it quite impossible.
Will we soon have enough money to move back to the city?
We have enough money for that now, but we can't never move from here.
Why not?
What if Beauty were to return? We can't have her coming home to an empty house. How will she know where to find us?
Charles is right. We must stay and be here for when Beauty comes home.
Kavet crossing over to Papa.
Papa, I know how much you miss Beauty. We miss her too, but it has been 3 months. I don't think she is coming back.
Yes, she is. She will be here as soon as she can escape from the beast.
Chantel crossing over to Charles.
Charles, there is no escaping the beast. You've heard her Papa tell of this horrid monster. He is powerful and magical. How can Beauty ever hope to win against the beast?
Still, we will stay here, for a while at least. But I don't want to deprive your girl of your happiness. If you want, why not plan a vacation to the city? I'll sponsor the trip.
Oh, thank you, Papa. That will be grand.
We'll go tomorrow.
Tomorrow? There's too much to do, too much to plan to go tomorrow.
All right, but we will leave as soon as we can. Will you be coming with us, Charles?
I don't know.
Oh, you must. You must see the sights of the city.
Kevin and Chantel drag Charles off stage right. Papa chuckles at the girls' excitement and follows them off. The lights dim on the country house scene and come up on the castle scene. The beast enters. He has a blindfold over his eyes, and his arms are extended out so that he may find his way. Beast calling out.
Beauty, where are you, Beauty? You can't hide from me.
He swipes at the air.
She's really very good at this.
The beast lifts up the corner of the blindfold as if to peek out, then puts it back and returns to swiping at the air.
Come now, I am beginning to feel ridiculous.
Beauty enters stage left and hides behind the large chair. The beast fumbles his way to the table and grabs a chair.
Ah, I have got you.
Beast feeling the chair.
Oh, 1,000 pardons.
The beast replaces the chair and continues feeling his way through the room. It's difficult for Beauty to keep herself from laughing out loud. Mischievously, she sneaks up behind the beast and taps him on the back of his shoulder. When the beast swings around, Beauty moves to the other side.
There you are, drop. There you are. I think I like the hide and go seek game better than this one. Mercy, Beauty, take pity on this trite old beast.
Beauty taps him on the back of his shoulder again. The beast swings around, but just as Beauty begins to move away, the beast grabs her, and they tumble to the ground laughing. Beauty playfully rapping on his chest.
It took you forever to catch me that time.
Beast removing his blindfold.
Oh my, I'm quite out of breath. What a perfectly observed game.
Oh, you like playing it.
She tickles him.
Come on, confess, you like playing my game.
All right. I like playing the game. Stop now.
The beast holds Beauty to keep her from tickling him. Once they both stop laughing, they stay in the embrace for a moment, both looking at each other with an endearing glance. But this bothers Beauty, and she breaks away from the beast to stand and step away.
It was the most strenuous game. I'm all flushed.
Beast also rising.
Beauty.
You were right, Beast. We'll do much better if we play hide and go seek.
Beauty, I love you.
Love me, oh dear. Now, love me, oh dear. Now who is speaking of the ludicrous?
From the moment I met you, or of this day that you have been with me, I have loved you. Will you marry me?
You want me to marry you? That is impossible.
Why, have you not come to care for me a little? If you were to remain here with me for the rest of our lives, why not have it be as husband and wife?
We could never be husband and wife.
Never? Does my touch offend you so?
Oh, no. To the contrary. I have come to like your touch, and I hate myself for liking it. I have become very fond of you, Beast. You are kind and wise and fun to be with, but...
But I'm a beast.
Yes.
Beast, hurt and dejected.
Well, it's getting late. I will say goodnight.
Beast.
The beast exits.
Beast, please. Oh, why must things be the way they are? Poor beast.
Beauty sits in the large chair frustrated. She ponders a moment, then looks strangely. She looks around the room and becomes frightened.
Beast! Beast!
The beast re-enters, and Beauty goes to him.
What is it?
Oh, Beast, something is wrong. It's Papa. Something is very wrong. I can't feel it.
But Beauty...
His heart was sick. Yes, that's what it is. My Papa is sick. Beast, he's dying. I know he's dying.
Beauty weeps in the Beast's arms.
Dear, dear, my love.
My Papa is dying, and I can't go to him. I can't be there to tend and comfort him. Now he'll never know how much I think of him and how much I love him.
Don't cry now, Beauty. Your Papa will know how much you love him.
But how will he know this if I must stay here?
Because I release you of your promise, you may go to your father.
Beast, you would do this for me?
I cannot bear to see you sad and cry. Go home to your family. This castle gate will never close on you again.
Thank you, Beast. Thank you for letting me go. I must hurry before it's too late.
Beauty begins to leave, but turns back to see the Beast one more time before rushing out. The Beast looks lost. When he approaches the table, he is overcome with rage and slams his fist down on the tabletop. Then the Beast slumps to his knees and buries his head in her arms. An agonizing roar comes from deep inside him as he rises and stumbles out stage left. The lights dim on the castle and come up on the country home. Cavette and Charles enter stage right, helping Papa come in. They ease him into the large chair and place a blanket over his lap. Chantel follows from behind with a bottle and spoon.
There, Papa. Are you comfortable here?
Yes, it feels nice to be sitting.
Please take your medicine, Papa. The doctor said...
I know what the doctor said. The medicine will be do little good.
If you won't take your medicine, at least have something to eat. I can make a smooth broth for you.
Bless you, Chavette. You children have been so good to me. But I know of only one thing that could make me well again.
I know, Papa, but we can't bring Beauty to home, no matter how much we wish for it, or how much we pray.
Beauty joyfully rushes in, stage right.
Papa, dear Papa.
Beauty goes to Papa in the embrace.
Beauty, it is really you?
It's really me, Papa.
Oh, my Beauty. Now I can get well knowing you'll be here with me.
However did you escape from the Beast?
I didn't escape. The Beast released me from my promise.
Why?
I knew there was something wrong. I felt in my heart that Papa was sick, so the Beast released me from my promise so I could come home to see Papa.
The Beast must be of a kindler nature than he was before.
He is, Papa. He's very kind and good to me.
A Beast? Kind?
He's more than just kind. He's smart and gentle. He lets me win all the games we play. He reads to me and we talk of faraway lands and magical kingdoms. He's become my best friend.
Gosh, Beauty. To hear you talk, it sounds like you're in love with this Beast.
Love him? No, I...
Beauty, come here.
Beauty sits on the floor next to Papa.
Love is the most precious gift anyone can receive. You must hold on to it as tightly as you possibly can and cherish it. Because true love doesn't come to all. You must accept it and embrace it no matter where it comes from. If you love this Beast and he loves you, then your place is with him.
But, Papa, you are ill.
My illness came from my thinking you're miserable and unhappy, having to stay in the castle with the terrible Beast. But I see by the shine of your eye eyes that this creature has made you happy. And you must have told us that he is good to you. I worry that he was not. As long as I know you are happy, I'll be well.
Oh, I do love him. I don't know how this can be, but I do.
You are crazy, Beauty, to love a beast.
Yes, to love my lovely, handsome beast.
Then it is settled. Our beauty will visit with us for a day or two, then return to the castle and her beast.
Beauty hugging Papa.
Thank you for understanding, Papa.
Beauty, come see my garden. I planted it myself.
Charles, you're becoming quite the farmer.
Beauty, Papa, Cavette, Chantel, and Charles all exit. The lights go down over the country house and come up over the castle scene. After a moment, the beast enters slowly. He appears sick and weak. He leans on the table and coughs, then sits in the large chair and holds onto his heart. His eyes close. Soon you hear Beauty approaching. She calls out to him.
Beast, where are you?
Beauty enters stage left and looks about the room.
There you are. Thank heaven. I've missed you so much.
Beauty goes to the beast's side as he opens his eyes.
Oh, Beauty, you came back to me.
I couldn't stay away. Papa made me realize that this is where I belong now.
How is your father?
He's well again, thank you, Obit. Oh, Beast, can you ever forgive me?
Forgive you for what?
For being so foolish, for denying my feeling for you, Beast. You are my life, you are my heart.
Sweet Beauty, I have longed to hear you speak this word. You have made me very happy.
But Beast, what's wrong? Why do you feel so cold and weak?
I'm dying, Beauty.
No, you can't. I won't let you.
When you ran away, there was nothing left for me. I didn't want to go on.
Beauty, crying.
You must go on. I'm here, Beast, and I'll never leave you again.
It will be better this way. How could I have ever believed you would want to be the wife of a beast?
But I do want to be your wife. I love you.
It's too late.
No, I won't believe that.
Please turn away. I don't want your memories of me to be of my death.
Beauty holding on to him.
No, I want to stay with you.
Please.
The beast rises and stumbles out of the room, stage left. Beauty falls into the large chair, sobbing. She buries her head into the armrest and doesn't notice that the lights over the castle come up fuller. The scene is bright and alive, with lights flashing. After a moment, a handsome gentleman, the beast, enters. He goes to Beauty and kneels by her side.
Beauty, my love, you mustn't cry. Beauty, look up and see me.
Who are you?
Don't you recognize me? Don't I seem familiar?
No, where did you come from? What have you done with Beast?
Beast is gone, Beauty. He disappeared when you said I love you. I have taken his place.
You?
When I was a young man, I was arrogant and mean. When I refused shelter to an old woman, she turned me to a beast, and so I was staying a beast until I could learn to love unselfishly, and I might earn another's love in return. I thought it impossible for someone to love a beast, but then you came to my castle and I began to hope that maybe. And here you have professed your love, and I am a man again.
I don't know what to make of this. I love Beast because who he is. You are like a stranger.
But I haven't changed inside. You'll see. We'll start over. We can play games like we did before. Beauty, do you think you might learn to love me like you learned to love the Beast?
The either the same. Still.
Beast, taking Beauty's hand.
And my touch. Isn't the touch the same? Could the Beast do this?
He kisses her tenderly.
Perhaps, if you told me a story.
He takes her arm in his and escorts her off stage left.
Once upon a time, there was a young prince who lived in a splendid castle.
End of Beauty and the Beast. Thank you for listening. This has been 4JME with Beauty and the Beast radio drama. Anything you guys want to say?
Thank you.
Yay!